Enjoy food the way nature intended. Alaska Seafood, wild, natural, and sustainable. For more information, visit wildalaskaseafood.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. This is Katie, HRN Executive Director, and I'm so excited to share with you our coverage from the Charleston Wine and Food Festival.
We are here live today at Charleston Wine and Food.
Join us as we talk all things food.
Come to Charleston, eat some seafood. Eat all of the seafood.
Chicken fried chicken with chorizo steak and salsa verde mashed potatoes.
So quintessentially like Southern fare at its finest.
And have important conversations.
We're also talking about professional women in restaurants and how underrepresented they are, people of color in restaurants, and how they're not talked about.
We get real with Food Network's Manit Chauhan.
Balance is BS. I was told that I wasn't going to be bleeped out.
And find out about raising sugarcane with Chef Sean Brock.
It's like being Indiana Jones or something. You never know what you're going to find.
You'll come away inspired by the power of food and the food scene in Charleston. Here's Dr. Jessica B. Harris.
Food is constantly in flux. Food is always moving. Food is the only real lingua franca that we have that allows us to connect with other folks.
So tune in to Heritage Radio Network on tour at heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't go wrong.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Hey, bud.
How you been?
Dude, I'm really, you know what? I know this is breaking the rules and everything, but I almost put that hat on. You've got your postal hat.
It's not against the rules. Other people have worn it.
No. I mean, the weather-wise.
Oh, okay.
Because what is your rule with your postal carrier hat?
The rule is I don't put it on until we have 3 days of consecutive sub-freezing temperatures. But then the rules of taking it off change every year because the weather's so fucked up.
Yeah. It's kind of fucked up today. It's really rainy.
Yeah. I walked out of my house and it was cool enough and rainy. I was like, well, I'm going to put my hat back on.
It's supposed to like snow this weekend too?
Twice, apparently. It's supposed to snow 2 days in a row. And it snowed 2 days ago.
What are we doing here?
And then the next day, it was totally gone. It's unreal. Yeah. We've broken the weather.
We broke it.
That's a new one.
Yeah. Nice one, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
I'm always prepared to boo you guys.
The howling,
I always have to be ready.
The howling crowd out there.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that ever again.
Yeah. So what have you been up to this past week?
Man, we did a menu flip for spring.
Hell yeah. Well, anticipatory of
can't
spring
see
to
the
come.
Air quotes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a new menu at Grand Army.
You always do a theme menu. What's the theme?
I'm not going to tell you. You have to come find out.
Oh, come on.
We're doing My Little Ponies.
The best.
Best names ever.
Just a crap ton of glitter everywhere.
There's so much glitter. It's crazy. It's just a bunch of like tattooed bearded dudes making glittery.
Right. Your bar
trees.
Is all male right now.
It is, you know, and I find that to be unsettling.
Yeah.
Not only because like I'm hanging out with a bunch of dudes, but like it's crazy. They're, like where are all the like female bartenders in here?
Sometimes it just happens that way, you know.
I know it goes up and down because like I've definitely had like a very female-heavy bar team before in the past, but like, I think
but right now it's a lot of beards and a lot of tattoos.
A lot of beards and tattoos, man. It's crazy.
I will.
I don't know. I mean, at least everyone's still making really great drinks, you know.
And My Little Pony themed. How's it going over?
Maybe that's I do. It's maybe the kind of most ridiculous theme that we've had so far.
You did all pink last year for spring.
The all pink drink was all pink drinks menu was two springs ago.
Oh, okay,
and that was more of a social experiment that I wanted to do for a long time, just to like see how what
did
people
you collect
find.
Data.
Yeah, I did, and it was actually it was quite fascinating to you know see how people reacted to pink drinks and like what their perception of a pink drink is. You know, people would think they were like sweet or fruity. And, you know, when you think about what classically can make a drink pink or red, like anywhere in that, like,
bitter
part of it's they're all bitters, like yeah. Angostura, Peugeot, Aperol, Campari, you know, any kind of like aperitivo, like, it's all, they're all bitters. And you know, that's stuff that you can get from a bottle, at least.
Sure.
Of course, you've got like things like grenadine, but you know, if you're thinking back in the day, it's like that's not something that you'd be pulling from like a bottle. You were making that, and mm-hmm. then you know, and then obviously like different red fruits. But like, if you're pulling it from a bottle, it was all bitter,
right?
You know, so
somehow we flipped the script on pink drinks.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a really fun experiment.
But now it's My Little Pony.
Yeah. Now we're doing that.
Are you making everybody who has long hair wear ponytails?
No,
that add to the theme. I think
there are three of us who that have long hair. Yeah, so, yeah, it's mostly you're just like covered in glitter by the end of the night, which is pretty funny. You look like you've gone to a rave.
Do you have all that edible glitter? I've never seen exactly. That stuff.
Katie Stipe was the one who turned me onto it, and like about a year ago, and it's a shitload of fun, man. But it gets everywhere. It's amazing. They make a spray. There's like an edible. Like spray paint, they come in little bottles, little cans, like spray paint cans. And, you know, they're for doing like airbrushing on like wedding cakes and shit.
Right.
So, like, you know, you can like do really cool like rims on glassware and like there's some cool stuff you can do. It's like glitter, man. It's the new
cleanup sounds like a nightmare. It's the new sugar rim. Cleanup sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. What about you? What's been going on?
Let's see. Not a whole lot, really, at face value, but a lot at the same time. We are moving forward with a new space on Clinton Street down in the Lower East Side. It's probably
going to
be
we?
Me and Pierre Moulin, who is the owner of the French Diner. Pierre Moulin. Moulin means windmill in French, so we're calling this new space the windmill.
Yeah.
Or, well, more pointedly, just windmill.
Cool.
Going to do some French-inspired snacks and some classic cocktails. Small space. It's going to be fun. Open until 2 a.m. We will know for sure after April 9th. That's the community board meeting. But if it happens, then we're opening on June 5th. Boom, fast.
Wow, that's just in time for my birthday.
Yes, of course. Well, that's why.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for thinking of me.
Of course.
Well, speaking of French-inspired, there's a bottle of champagne on the table
here. There is.
And we've got a couple of guests here. Why don't you introduce them for us?
Sure. Well, our guest today is Steva Casey, all the way in from Birmingham, Alabama. She brought us a bottle of Perrier Jouet to sip on while we have the show. Hey, Steva, welcome to the studio.
Hi.
Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Sitting in and maybe chiming in, we've got Greg Benson. Greg Benson lives here in New York City. He's got a podcast of his own, which you've probably listened to, called Raising the... Wait, what is it again?
Bar None.
Bar None. Sorry, yeah. I got it confused with Raising the Bar. But it's Bar None podcast, which is really cool, where you guys dig into like the history of cocktails and then line them up to history that's going on at that same time, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of... I don't know. It's a sociology thing more than anything else, kind of looking at like why is the martini sort of a Mad Men era thing, and why is like the aviation kind of, you know, a perfect partnership for the internet age. So it's... It's like taking the, you know, the people watching of like working in a bar, being in a bar and just being like, why is that person having that drink? And just kind of really diving into it for 45 minutes.
Yeah. And giving it a historical context. It's a great show. I've been a guest on that show before.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I listened to your episode.
Oh, well, thanks.
Didn't suck.
Well, all right. That was our goal going into it. That was our goal. Well, Greg's here only because he's taken an unexpected break from work. He did some damage to his left hand and can't work right now.
So yeah, a bicycle accident. That sounds familiar.
Souther's old nemesis.
Yeah. The bike's coming out to haunt us. Listen, I'm getting back on my bike. And my new bike, by the way, is a Fernet Branca bike.
What?
I don't know if I told you that. They sent me a bike. They were like, did you get a new bike yet? And I was like, no. And they're like, on the way.
Well, thank you for that.
So all you got to do is...
Thanks for
break your arm really badly, and Fernet will send you a free.
Are they going to send us a bottle for the bar?
And now we're going to get a bottle for the bar. I'm certain. I'm certain of it. Somebody out there is listening.
You guys need to get like I don't know, Fernet Branca helmets or something. I don't. Like,
yeah, can they give you pads?
Yeah, that'd probably be more helpful, but. The helmet wouldn't help me at all. I had my helmet with me when I was hit by a car.
You had it with you.
I didn't have it on.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other thing is like when you get, like, I've broken my hand so many times falling off a bike because instinctively when you go over the handlebars, you just put your hands out. So it's like everybody's always like, were you wearing your helmet? I'm like, yeah, but my head was fine. It's the only thing that like doesn't make contact with the road. You just sort of roll.
Yeah, you need to get some wrist guards.
Yeah, Fernet Branca wrist guards.
So, Steva, you're in town from Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
I used to live in, by the way, in the deep,
my old boss
south.
Lives there. Yeah, from there. Yeah, Linnell Smothers.
Oh, that's right. She's down there too. Has she reopened her store?
She has not opened yet, but it is coming very soon.
I feel like that's what she says every time I see her, and it's been years.
You know,
takes time.
It's a process.
Things move slowly. But you live down in Birmingham, Alabama. You tend a bar at Atomic.
I do.
Talk to us a little bit about Atomic Bar, and then we're going to back up past that. But what are you doing at Atomic right now?
I bartend Friday and Saturday at it's Atomic Lounge, technically. But
ooh,
yeah.
Lounge.
I know, it's very fancy.
Wow.
It's, it's a great bar.
What's the vibe?
The vibe, it looks like your grandmother's living room from 1974.
That
with wood
awesome.
Paneling. And the owner's...
Gold-rimmed glassware, crystal cut.
Ooh.
No? There's some crystal cut glassware.
That's what my grandma's place looked
yeah.
like.
The owner's Faisal and Rachel...
Oh, it's Faisal.
Yeah, you met Faisal.
Yeah, from Collins.
Yeah.
Is he still involved in that one or no?
No.
Okay, cool.
So they opened their own place. It's been open a little over a year. And when I always describe him, I describe him as a person who can make like 500 pieces of Instagrammable content in one space, where every piece is an art piece. So the back bar is not bottles. Obviously, there are bottles on the back bar, but they're obscured by this giant art piece that is a recreation of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
Oh, wow. Like the album cover?
The album cover, and it's all Birmingham-related people.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so...
That's cool.
It's super cool, and the beneath it, where it would say the Beatles, it says Birmingham and Roses. And so then that part, like, flips up, and that obscures the back bar.
Cool. So yeah. Every time you... Is there, like... It's just from, like, a functionality... point is there an actual well in front of you, or
there
do you have to pull from back there?
There is.
Okay, cool.
But you still pull from back there.
Yeah.
But like all your menu drink bottles are in front of you.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty common practice these days. Ticonderoga Club in Atlanta doesn't show any bottles. Drink in Boston has never shown any
never
bottles.
Shown a bottle.
Like, I kind of like it. At Amore, we never put any branded names on the menu. You can see all the bottles, but yeah. Nothing on the menu says who it is. People have to ask.
Well, you know, okay, so let's talk about that for a second, because...
I'm going to pop this bottle of PJ.
Yeah, pop that bottle of PJ.
I was going to suggest the same
thing.
It's
only getting warmer.
Right? I'm only getting thirstier. Go on with your story.
Well, it's not a story, but it's a question. Like, as far as branded menus go, you don't name the brand of the base spirit, but like things like Campari... What do? You say Campari.
So
like things like chartreuse, you got to say chartreuse.
Right. You could.
You don't say like French herbal liqueur. Alpine herbal liqueur.
No. So Amore's menu. Oh yeah, that's the sound that launched
that
thousand
ships.
That
was a very classy pop.
You know, this face is made for radio, so I'm gonna make it sound sexy somehow.
That's what my mom tells me. Oh, quick with the.
Man, the rim shot.
How many coffees have you had today, Dave?
Well, he was drinking Fernet when I came in.
Oh well, same thing.
Basically, yeah.
So at Amore, what we do is we don't list any of the spirits on the menu. We list all the Amari and all the bitters.
Thanks, Steven.
By mm-hmm. name and by brand. But I don't care to list, you know, my spirits, because that's not what we focus on. So that's the only reason we do it there.
Well, that makes sense for you, yeah.
For my bar, it makes sense. But you're right. I think it's impossible to just say, gin, sweet vermouth, and Amaro is what you'd have to say to list your Negroni. And that would sound weird, or aperitif. That would just sound like everybody would know. Everybody who knows would know. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, yeah.
It's a rabbit hole we can go down at another time.
Yeah, I guess we
Let's talk about Steva Casey, who's all the way here from Birmingham, Alabama. So, Steva, let's back up a little. I jumped right into what you're doing now, but usually
sure.
We start with what you've been doing. How did you get to where you are in this field, and what drove you to do it
been
in the first
doing
place?
Many things.
Yeah, and let's say hello with
cheers
this.
To
oh, yeah.
Cheers to some.
Cheers salute. To you, friends.
Yes.
I'm drinking out of jelly jars. Feel like I'm at home.
Yep. Mm.
Oh,
so,
thanks for bringing that in. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Champagne.
Very celebratory. So what? You know, led you to the path to where you are now.
Where do you want me to start?
I mean, don't give me your whole CV, but like, how did you get into the bar business? What led you behind a bar? What, you know, brings
I've
up
been
speed.
In the service business for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And when I started waiting tables, I was like 19. Here, I need to pay some bills. I'll start waiting tables.
Hmm.
My first restaurant job was at a 24-hour Lebanese restaurant.
In Birmingham?
In Birmingham.
A 24-hour Lebanese restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who was the clientele there? Late-night cab drivers?
Well, I mean, you know, Birmingham has 24-hour bars.
What?
What?
That's right. I forget that. That is a thing I forget all the time. Yeah, mind blown. Mind blown.
What the fuck is... Seriously, what are we doing here, man?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, every every time somebody's like, I feel like I should come to Birmingham, I say, it's your business that you haven't been there yet, because we have 24-hour bars. This 2 a.m. shit's for the fucking birds, as far as I'm concerned.
That's what I thought in Oklahoma, and then I moved here, and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, what's the bar? I have a. It's in my wallet. I think I have a membership to Marty's, right?
Marty's.
And Marty's, they serve food, but they don't even start serving food until 11 o'clock at night.
Marty's, greatest concept ever. They begin serving food at 11 p.m. Yeah. They stop serving food at 5 a.m.
Yes.
The bar, I hope you know I'm air quoting, closes at 6. But in Birmingham, if you have a club license, you set your own hours. So theoretically, you can be 24 hours because you set your own hours. Hmm. So you don't have a hard close. Other bars, you have to close at 2 a.m. on Saturday.
Right, blue law.
Because of blue law.
No drinking on Sunday, technically.
Mm. You got to sober up before you go to church.
Right, exactly. Well, so is it the same kind of... I just, like, from a owner-manager, like, side, like, is it, like, the kind of the same idea as, like, New Orleans bars, like, where, like, maybe you close for an hour and, like, just do a hard clean for an hour and then you reopen?
I mean, there's some that are like that.
Or do you just never clean anything?
And there are also some like that.
I want to visit those.
I was talking to a friend last night who lives here now that used to live in Birmingham, and we were talking about one of our favorite bars that's a 24-hour gay bar that technically is called The Quest, but you know I call that thing Nasty Bar.
Nasty Bar.
Because it has not been cleaned in probably 20 years.
20 years of continuous 365 days a year, 24-hour a day service. Unreal.
It's like I'm trying to do, like, I'm trying to write the schedule right now in my head.
You gotta have like a, there's gotta be at least a monthly, like, okay, it's every third, every third Tuesday.
I like to imagine on like Christmas Day they just shut it down and power hose the entire thing. Just exactly. Like, there you go, let it dry, it's fine.
It's wearing a good for another
year. Like wearing a Santa suit.
I mean,
just to sell it.
That's decently apt.
All right, so you're at this 24-hour-a-day Lebanese restaurant. Mm-hmm. That was actually the bigger shocker to me. There's a Lebanese restaurant in Birmingham that does enough business to stay open 24 hours a day.
Our baseline immigrant population during, like, Industrial Revolution was Lebanese and Greek and Irish immigrants. Hmm. Because we're a steel city.
That's right. There's also... Right? Based right on the Gulf, too.
We're about 4 hours from the Gulf.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What am I thinking of? I'm thinking
Mobile
of New Orleans.
New Orleans. So, most of our immigrant population is Lebanese. And
are they known for making steel? I don't know. Either way, so there's where you got your start.
Mm-hmm.
What got you, what moved you along to get to being, the drinks maven that you are today?
Oh, that's nice. My first, it's very sweet of you. I'll get you drunk first. That's why I say those nice things. My first fine dining job was at a French restaurant. And I learned a lot about wine there. And then as I moved through my restaurant career, I essentially began to do the wine program at every place where I worked. And eventually, I worked at a restaurant where they said, okay, if you're going to do the wine list, you also need to run the bar. So, it's 2007. I essentially read a lot of books, taught myself how to bartend.
So
shook some Manhattans.
Manhattans. Yeah, you shook the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, why not? Hey, Wondrich prefers his Manhattan shaking.
Well, he also loves the Tombstone cocktail, which is actually really... It's a very cool cocktail. It's an old fashioned, just shake the shit out of it. There's no bitters. It's just a ton of nutmeg on top. I agree with that. It's good. So you focused on wine first, and then you started moving into cocktails.
Yeah.
Was that? And this was in Birmingham, and this was in like what year? You said 2000.
I was dedicated behind a bar after 2008. Yeah. So
this is like kind of around the same time that a lot of stuff was starting to happen here. Like,
99 to 2006, I was definitely running restaurants, doing wine lists.
Yeah. But as far as like your transition in like cocktails and bartending, like, I don't know. Like, to me, I moved here in like 2006, And that I could see, like, it was just starting to bubble up, you know, like cocktail bars and stuff. So, like, you know, that's, to me, that's the coolest thing about our like cocktail renaissance is like a lot of stuff kind of happened at the same time based on the fact that we have shared information with books and
right. Collective subconscious, books and the internet all kind of came together at one time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, me being from Oklahoma, it's like I was like collecting cocktail books when I was like from a very young age. And then whenever I started bartending.
He's always embarrassed to say it was 12. He was 12. It was 12. I'm not making a joke. This is the truth.
But the thing is, like, when, you know, the internet comes around and like the cocktail renaissance starts happening, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's I always say this and it sounds really cheesy, but what a great time to be a bartender.
You know? Oh yeah, of course. Like we're right at the striking point basically. Yeah.
So you got in there and you started doing it and you had this wine background. So it must've been really easy for you to understand like flavor pairings and.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So an easy transition, relatively easy transition from being basically a somm or a builder of wine lists into self-taught, get behind the bar, make a program that works for the place where you're at,
right,
and move forward.
Right.
And that's going to bring us close to where we are now. We're going to talk about you more when we come back from the break.
Sure.
We'll take a quick break and hear from our sponsors here at Heritage Radio Network. Join us in a sec.
Think about what it takes to swim a coastline longer than the entire eastern seaboard and leap tall waterfalls in a single bound. What does it take to survive 200 feet deep in icy salt water? What would you be made of? Wild Alaska seafood is made of tight muscle mass, long chain omega-3s, and incredible micronutrients. It matters where your food comes from. Experience the flavor of the fittest in every bite and enjoy food the way nature intended. Alaska seafood, wild, natural, and sustainable. Ask for Alaska on the menu, grocery store, or smart device. For more information, visit wildalaskaseafood.com.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. We just re-upped our champagne in the studio with Steve.
Right.
Because, because Souther spilled half of his, man. What the hell are you doing over there? You're not the one that's wearing the cast anymore.
Yeah. I was pouring some out for my homies who couldn't be here.
Well, we got a full house.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay. So you get behind a bar.
Yep.
You're sort of forced, right? You were told, we want you for this job, but in order to have this job that you wanted, you had to do this other job, too.
Right.
That's kind of what I took from what you just said. But then that sparked something, obviously, because you pursued it. I don't hear you often talk about wine anymore.
I talk about wine all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I must not be part of those combos.
You don't want to drink it.
It's not true. I drink it like water. Everybody knows wine's my like kryptonite.
Sparkling water.
I have to like really gauge myself because
you'll pour it on the table.
Well, a little bit of that too. All right, everybody made fun of me enough for that. because for 18 years all I drink is water and alcohol. A lot of people know that about me. For 18 years, but wine is a danger to me because when I drink wine, it tastes like juice, and I just pound it accidentally. I will burn through a bottle of wine as fast as you'll burn through a bottle of San Pellegrino.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh my God, this is so delicious.
Yeah. So I mean, it is myself. Juice.
It is juice. It's all wine. Just juice.
I just went to Champagne for a week.
Nice.
In January, yeah.
So we're getting ahead of ourselves. I want to talk a little bit more about what it is you do.
I
want to
talk about champagne.
I want to talk about what you do now.
Souther, shut the fuck up. Let's talk about champagne.
Well, I want to talk about what you do now, and then I want to talk about how that all leads to you traveling all over the damn world, which you do, and I'm super jealous, but I live vicariously through your Instagram feed.
I make it look fun on the internet.
You know, that's what we all do. Look, everything is perfect. That's
we're all crying.
That's pretty much what my Instagram says to the world. Everything is perfect.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about you took that job, and obviously you took many other jobs behind the bars all over Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes.
But how did you... So now let's talk about what you do now. Now you work for Offsite, which is our buddy Nick Korn.
I do. I do some projects with them.
One major one, right?
One major one's called International Cocktail Karaoke.
International Cocktail Karaoke. Talk to us about that real fast.
Sponsored by Patron. So it's a Patron-sponsored event. Last year we went to technically, we were supposed to go to 9, but we could not go to Puerto Rico because of the hurricane. So we went to 8 cities. We're going to 6 cities this year. They will go to 1 without me because they are doing, or we are doing Calgary while I'll be at Tiki by the Sea.
Which you also do. Well, let's talk about karaoke first.
Yep.
So karaoke is, it's exactly what it sounds like, but it's a competition. It's so hilarious. I judged one. One of the first ones, I think.
Yeah.
So tell us what it is.
I'll explain the premise to you. So say the four of us were on a team together.
Like we are right now.
We are
like
right now. We're on the champagne drinking and radio team.
We would choose a song and create a cocktail, and they would compliment one another, and at least one to two people would make a drink while the other people sang the song at the same time.
Yeah. It gets crazy, though.
And they put on costumes. It's very fun.
The one I judged, cosplay involved.
Oh yeah.
The one I judged, there was a team up on stage that was wearing, roller skates or roller blades. I don't know, but they were doing incredibly choreographed, crazy dance moves while singing, lip syncing a karaoke song, or no, they're singing the karaoke song.
Yeah, there's no lip syncing.
Sorry, yeah, the music's playing and they're actually singing, while there was four of them on stage and the other two were making the drink. They were also on roller blades in costume. It was incredible. And then the judging is based on kind of not the cocktail, really.
what was the song?
I can't remember.
Were you transfixed by the
I was transfixed the, by the it all. Also, let's not forget, I was certainly drinking a lot. And this is also maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, because karaoke was involved.
Well, yeah.
Fair amount of Patron.
There's no such thing as sober karaoke.
But Patron the flows freely.
The judging at that time, is it still the same? There's three major points
there
to the judging.
There are three judges.
I was the cocktail judge, which meant I was the least important judge in this situation. Then there was...
We have a fabulous judge.
Fabulous. Mm. Which at the one I was at was a local drag queen.
It's always a drag queen.
It's always a drag queen.
It's always a drag queen.
Who just was judging on the costumes and the dancing and everything else.
Our drag queen at Cocktail Karaoke that was here last November, her name is Alotta McGriddles.
Alotta McGriddles. That's a great name.
Mm-hmm. Wow. She's Irish.
She was fantastic.
And then the final one is the
musical judge.
The musical, which when I was there was Eric Trickett.
Oh.
He's a solid dude, knows a lot about music.
Yeah. We played some songs on the show before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he sings.
Yeah.
Plays piano.
Look at that.
He's an accomplished musician.
Little did I know. But what a fun thing this is. And you travel around from city to city internationally. They're doing Mexico and Canada and the United States. So that's three countries. That's international. And it gets a lot of great response, right?
Yeah, I think so.
People are really into it.
People have a really great time. It's a really fun event.
What's the prize?
The prize...
Is it like one of those things where there is no prize? It's just you get to say I won?
You get to say you won.
I love that.
Why does everyone always need a prize?
We don't, you know?
Can't take it with you.
I think the folks who are motivated and interested in doing something like that, they're already motivated and interested. Right. That is the prize. Getting up on stage and doing it is the prize.
Right. And you get a selfie with a lot of McGriddles, you know? It's just like, what more do you need than that?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you also do Tiki by the Sea, which I also love. I've participated in that.
Thank you.
So talk about that.
Tiki by the Sea is a bartender-focused tiki educational festival. So it's a three-day event that we
How many days do you have to be to become a festival? Is there a rule?
I feel multi-day
That's a
is...
question for Dave.
I think it's three. Two's a weekend.
As
three's a festival.
As the insurance that I've been researching and securing, it's a festival.
Yeah. Well, because they're staying on site. And
Yeah. I'm going to my first one, this one that's coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, rad. Are you doing anything or are you just going?
I'm gonna hang out, man.
Vibes. always vibes.
I'm going to bring some recording equipment from Harry.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Interview some folks.
Sounds excellent. So talk to us about what Tiki by the Sea is and what it tries to accomplish.
So we want to educate bartenders about tiki culture. So we are doing two weekends this year.
Who's we?
Pete. You know Pete.
I know Pete, but I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for the audience that's listening.
Fair. Pete from Avoa Cachaça.
Peter Nevangloski.
Yes.
Who owns Avoa Cachaça.
Mm-hmm. Started this festival in 2015, and I was brought on in 2016.
You realized right away he needed help, and you were the one to give it.
It was very fortunate for both of us.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So I went to, I think, the second one. Maybe I don't know. How many years have it been going on?
15. This is our, starting in 15. 15, 16, 17, 18.
Okay, so I went to the second one, I guess, because I wasn't at the first one for sure. And it was a great experience. His family happens to own a small beachside hotel in Wildwood, New Jersey, and they give it up to him for those 3 days.
Wildwood. No D. Wildwood.
Yeah. Wildwood. Oh, did I emphasize a D?
No, you did it right.
All right.
Wildwood.
See, all of our southern accents are going to come out with Steven.
No, but it's
Wildwood, New Jersey. Wildwood. They own a small hotel down there. It's got like 50 rooms. He crams a couple people in every room. And then there's this 3-day festival, and we get to learn about tiki stuff. I went down, I cooked a whole pig.
He did.
What did it ever do to you? Besides being delicious.
It was delicious. That's what it did to me after the fact.
It was delicious.
So this is the great thing about Tiki by Sea, is it's sponsored by, or hosted, I guess, by Peter Nawagłaski of Avoa Cachaça, but it's not about Avoa specifically.
No.
In fact, they didn't even exist when the tiki culture was a big thing. So it's a cool educational experience that's not necessarily pointed at just the brand that's putting it on, which I think is important. So I was there actually representing Jägermeister at the time. I cooked a whole pig with a Jägermeister glaze.
Awesome.
Damn.
Mahogany brown. That guy came out.
Wow.
It was delicious.
Can I just like interrupt you for a second? Okay, so when you said when tiki culture was a thing, do you think tiki culture back when it was original is bigger than it is now?
Do I think it was bigger than it is now?
Or more important or more focused? What do you think? Like as far as like, like everything that's happening right now with like the modern tiki revival that has been happening from like, I would say the like mid 80s when people started like, that's when it was really culty to where it is now.
Such a slippery slope because it's a thing that really wants to be not serious, but suddenly so many people take it seriously.
They took it seriously back then.
No, dude, I don't know about
Trader Vic and
he was very
Don the Beachcomber.
Secretive about his
they were
recipes.
Very secretive. Yeah. So what's the difference between secretive and serious?
I don't know.
Come on.
It's one of those weird things where it's like you can like they're about, you know, kicking back and being lazy and having fun, but they're super serious about it. And I think that's kind of the fun.
You gotta be pretty serious about tiki culture when you're like building like an empire of like a chain of faux Polynesian restaurants and you've got like you're taking it pretty seriously.
There's also two different sides of that serious between the consumer, their level of seriousness about it, and
trade.
And trade. Like,
yeah,
there are probably half a dozen to a dozen consumer events that happen throughout the country that are huge.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
The Hookie Lao.
Hookie Lao, Tiki Oasis, Luau on the Lake.
Right.
There's a lot of them.
And those have been...
are purely consumer events.
They've been happening forever without the influence of any kind of trade. But by chance, like, eventually, like, the industry starts getting involved with it because they're like, whoa, all right. But
the industry sees a way to monetize things.
Well, no, the industry gets involved because they're like... I'm talking, like, enthusiasts in the industry who are like,
Because they're tired of not having fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Wearing those goddamn vests all the time is not fun.
Thank you, Steva.
Right. You can make a vest fun, but still.
Steva's, can you?
Steva's
I just throw enough buttons on there. Enough buttons
work at TGI Fridays?
Yeah. Love that flair, man.
Yeah, man.
26 pieces, mandatory. I wear 27 because, you know, I want to go above and beyond.
Yeah.
That extra mile.
So, Tiki by Sea, it happens now. This year, is this the first year it's going to happen twice?
Yes.
So it's going to happen two different weekends in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Wildwood.
And I'm sure you're already booked. Is it booked?
Well, people apply to go.
You're right. Hasn't that already happened?
Applications have closed, but we have not announced attendees yet.
Ah, so people, they don't know yet.
They don't know who's going.
But
yet. You
know.
Damon
just said he's going. How does he know?
I don't know if I'm going.
Oh, you applied.
I applied, okay. But... I also put a cocktail on my spring menu.
Oh, I see. He's so like, that gives you a little...
I'm going to guilt trip the shit out of Pete.
Well, you know what's crazy?
I don't have a thing to do with that.
I happen to know...
If I don't go, man, I'm pulling product from my bar.
Well, I happen to know...
Stop it.
Yeah.
That is not true now. You know that.
That's right. I happen to have a buddy who has a house down there, because when I was down there, I stayed, whatever it was, two nights.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed one night at the hotel, but I stayed one night at my buddy's house who lives four blocks away, Chris Keach, from Jägermeister. Him and his family randomly have a house down there, even though he lives out in San Diego. Whatever. So we could probably get your accommodations, and I'm certain you could show up. And it's a great thing, and it's been going on now for this many years, and it's grown to have 2 weeks, and it grew last year to have now that's also international. You do it in
We do it in Italy for European bartenders.
Tiki by the Sea, Italy. Yeah.
So technically, wait. I produced / helped produce events in 4 different countries last year.
So, global juggernaut, Steve Acacy, on
where,
the scene.
Where in Italy is that one?
It's in Fregene, which is about 30 minutes from Rome.
Cool.
And it's on the water.
It's on the water.
It's similar situation, a little hotel, right on the water.
We actually run a villa, but
It's awesome. It's a similar number of folks.
Can I apply to them?
Yes.
It's for European bartenders only.
I've bartended in Italy several times.
That's right.
I just did it 2 months ago.
That's right.
So if you want to get technical about
for whom were you bartending?
For the people, man.
Where?
I did a lot of different bars.
Damon Bolte, bartender to the people.
In Florence.
In Florence.
Yeah. Let's see.
We'll take this conversation.
We'll have
offline.
To do it offline.
Well, regardless, we can always crash the party.
One of them was the Dome.
We can come skimboarding up
that one.
One
was called Mad.
Wait,
that bar is awesome.
Yeah,
that bar is really awesome.
I did.
Mad.
The manager.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't do that. What's the one with the big retractable roof?
Yummy.
Just south of Duomo.
In Florence.
Oh, it did Bar Fusion. And then also...
Man About Town.
Locale. Locale. That place.
Man About Town.
Yeah, man. I can fucking bartend in Italy. I can go Tiki by the Sea in Italy. Come on.
Come on, man.
I'm just going to show up. I'm going to do what Souther does. I'm going to call up one of my friends and just like... crash your shit.
Yeah, crash nearby.
I mean,
what are you guys doing here? Yeah. Coincidence.
What?
Yeah.
You'll be washing a lot of dishes.
Hey, man.
I'll put you to work now.
I'm used to it.
That's your job, right? So you coordinate all of everything.
And put people to work.
How does it... So, okay, as the guest, I have to apply. But how do you wrangle in and what sort of programming do you put on? Like when I was there, Brother Cleve gave a talk about sort of the history of Tiki. It was sort of the opening talk, basically.
We do
Martin Kate was
seminars.
There. He gave a cool talk. Somebody was there talking about blending drinks, which was awesome.
Yeah, we do 10 seminars. It's 24 events within 3 days, 10 of which are seminars, and then 14. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, pool party, pirate boating, Tiki tour.
Yeah.
Boardwalk, amusement ride night.
Oh, yeah. That didn't work out so great, my trip. A group that I was with got asked to leave. I had nothing to do with it. For the first time ever, I had nothing to do with it. But it was a great time. And you book it out every single time. It's full every time, so much so you had to add a second one, and I'm sure that'll fill as well. Because it's only, like I said, it's like 100 people, right?
Right. We do. Pete and I had a long talk about it, and we decided rather than expanding to 100 people in one weekend, we would expand to 2 weekends and 50 people each time. So it's essentially not to dilute the experience.
Oh, I'm wrong. It's only 50 people.
It's 50 people each weekend. So it's 100 total.
Wow. I guess my memory just sees a lot more people, but it was only 50 of us.
It was only 50.
That's
amazing. Well, it's because you're seeing double when you're there.
Yeah, that's true. There's plenty of drinks to be had. But a really great experience, and they travel you around everywhere. You don't have to worry about driving or getting in any cabs. A lot of stuff's walkable.
Or wrecking on your bike.
Yeah, right. A lot of stuff's walkable. Like, it was a great time.
Thank you.
I remember we did a yoga thing. It's the first and only time I ever did yoga.
How'd you feel about that?
It was great. We were in this weird salt room. Was that maybe I'm mixing up trips? I'm mixing up trips. This was a different trip.
Trips. I was not there.
Yeah, sorry. That was a different trip.
We did a little yoga.
You mean the ocean?
There was a different trip. Whatever. We were drinking at both trips. And then you still pull shifts at a bar.
I do.
And then you travel a ton. That's what I wanted to get to.
I do.
So how do you make all this work? You work 2 nights a week at your bar. You create these international events.
Well, first and foremost, paper does not stack itself. So I'm just got to be out here hustling on a regular basis.
Hustle is real.
Paper doesn't stack itself.
Shit, man. That was like some real gangster shit you just dropped on us.
Steve holds no punches. Steve pulls no punches. Which you're also known for. You're known in this field to be the person who speaks the truth.
I make direct eye contact with too many people, and then they want me to tell them about themselves, and then it happens. Sometimes they cry. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
I do it out of love.
Yeah, you look right into people.
I do.
That's good. I like it. We've been friends for a long time because of it, probably. So how do you make that happen? Again, let's go back to when I said I live vicariously through your Instagram, because you are all over the globe. In fact, you had a hashtag for a while, which was like 100 places I haven't been or something like that. What was that?
Well, I have a goal every year. Rather than like New Year's resolutions of like, I'm not going to do that thing. I feel like that's idiotic. And also you always break those.
Yeah.
I just create goals for myself, that things I want to accomplish. So 2016 was 100 new places.
100 new places.
Because I was doing a lot of work travel, and I still do a lot of work travel, and I felt like I was going to cities but not seeing anything culturally related. I could tell you all about the bars and the restaurants, but I couldn't tell you about any art exhibits or anything else that holds my interest. So I said, I'm going to see 100 new places, and none of them are going to be booze related unless it's a distillery. So I actually went to a distillery in 5 different countries that year.
And then you went to, did you meet your goal?
I did.
And it was all documented on your Instagram.
It was.
Which is what?
Steal My Records.
That's her Instagram handle.
Yeah, it's the line from a Ryan Adams song.
Yes.
You know, screw all my friends, steal my records. They're all full of shit.
Love it.
Yeah. So 2017 was 50 new dive bars.
50 new dive bars. Mm-hmm. And how have you done so far?
I did 50 dive bars. It was
said 17 or 18?
17 was 50 dive bars.
Oh, okay, cool.
18 is 40 shows.
How come only 40?
Well, because I turned 40 this year.
Oh, well, all right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that's an achievable goal. If you made 100 new places, I think you can make 40 shows, especially you live in Birmingham, which I think it's not as much credit as it should get for being a town that's definitely got a lot of live music.
We do.
Like, there's a lot of venues, and there's a lot of cool music that goes through there. Yeah. I lived in Birmingham many, many years ago, and it's a town that has plenty of music.
It is a musically vibrant city.
Yeah.
We're very spoiled. The DIY scene in Birmingham is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we're 2 hours from Muscle Shoals. So if you're unfamiliar with Muscle Shoals, like, the Muscle Shoals sound is very famous. They produced a lot of records in the 60s and the 70s. And that sound, that sort of horn section sound, rhythm section sound, is often referred to as the Muscle Shoals sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah. I mean, like, there were Stones records produced in Muscle Shoals.
Right. Yeah, actually.
Sticky Fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So.
Very cool.
Yeah. We were making that kind of music before it was a huge Nashville push.
You, like, created it, and Nashville just kind of, like, polished it in a way. Like, they made it, like,
they put a bunch
glossy.
Of glitter on it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Hopefully it's edible glitter in a spray can.
that's also kind of interesting to me. Like, just because I'm a musician and I'm a big music nerd, like, I get a lot of inspiration from music when I'm creating cocktails, you know?
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And there's been a lot of times where you just, like, grab a quote, like, Steal My Records, you know? Like,
yeah.
Steal My Records is a great name for a cocktail, you know? And then you can, like, play off the content of that.
Sure.
I always just totally, like, defer right back to music whenever, if I'm, like kind of in a, if I'm having, like, writer's block, but for, like, bartenders, you know? Like, I'm like, I need to create something. It's like, I'll pick, like, a favorite lyric or a song title or an album title or a band name or something like that. And then, like, just play off that. It's like the surefire way to, like, build
it's engaging.
A great cocktail.
Yeah, it's engaging.
But there's already a story built behind it, you know?
Yeah, it's something to say.
Yeah, and it, like, activates a different part of your mind, too.
Right.
It's like, I mean, I love going to, like, you know, oh, there's great flavors in this, I don't know, sandwich. I want to try and put that in a cocktail. There's great flavors in this beer. I want to try and put that in a drink. But, like, if you really are stuck, like you said, with writer's block, it's helpful to go completely outside of that. It's like, I'm going to listen to this record I haven't listened to in, like, 2 years, or I'm going to go to the Met and just kind of, like, see if, you know, take yourself outside of that space where you're thinking about it all the time and then see what happens.
Well, that's like you're saying, like, 100 new places, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I think that's extremely important just based on what you're just saying, like, what we're just saying, you know? It's like, you know, taking yourself outside of the bars and the restaurants and the distilleries and breweries and wineries, you know, it's like getting out there and seeing what happens outside of the bar, you know?
Right.
We spend so much time inside of it, you know?
You're enriching yourself, you're giving yourself some greater substance, and you're not just being this one-sided thing, which I think we, you know, in any field, you fall into that trap to get too immersed in your own thing. Mm-hmm. Steve, I'm super glad that you're on the show today.
Yeah, this has been great.
It was pretty short notice, and I'm glad you were able to come.
Yeah.
We had a cancellation today. Thanks, Colin. but I heard you were in town, and I just reached out to you immediately, and you were gracious enough to join us, so I appreciate it.
This was way better than Colin anyway.
Yeah. True that, Dave, true that. Up yours, Colin. Get involved, bruv. upcoming guests on the show will be Giancarlo Mancino from Mancino Vermouth is going to be on the show soon. We got Eric Metzger, the photographer for my book, as well as the book that Wiley Dufresne just put out, which won which was nominated for an IACP award. He's actually going to come in and take some photos of you and I, Damon.
Cool.
So that we can have some headshots and cool things to use.
Can we swap? Can I wear your Postman hat and your red glasses?
I'll wear a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And boots. Absolutely. Anne Louise Marquis is going to be on the show. She's a dynamo and travels a lot around as well.
She's in town. That's weird.
Well, that's coming up.
I don't think she actually lives here anymore.
That's out there.
She bought a house. Or she bought an apartment here.
Really?
Purchased?
Purchased.
La-ti-da. Let's get some of that Campari money.
She's never here.
How come there's not a bottle of Campari on the bar that we built in the studio
She's
here?
She's great. She's awesome. Louise is
She's
great.
She's one of the best.
Another great lady, Natasha David's coming up on the show. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up. And I just wanted to throw out a shout out to our buddy, Jeff Morgenthaler. His book arrived in the studio today for a copy for Damon. I don't see my copy, Jeff. That's fine. I'll pick up my own. It's called Drinking Distilled, a User's Manual on How to Drink. As if you didn't know already, but written in Jeff Morgenthaler's characteristically sort of smarmy and witty style. I haven't even cracked it open yet, but I look forward to reading it, and I think you should pick up a copy for yourself. That's all I got for this week's show. What do you got?
Man, I'm very happy about the show today.
Yeah, man.
Very
good show.
Cool. Yeah.
And we're drinking PJ.
We're drinking, dude.
You know, living like 2 Chainz over here. Yeah.
Three. It's mine, and I spend it.
3 for me and 2 for the DJ.
I don't know what else to say, actually, after that. It's fucking killer. No, we've got... we do have a lot of really great guests coming up, and we have some fun stuff coming up. We're starting to plan for our... don't want to get all crazy, you know. Like,
oh, yeah.
But in a month, in one day... I don't want to like stress myself out, but we're going to have the Grand Army's 3-year anniversary. So we're going to be throwing some crazy party. It happens to be on Cinco de Mayo and Kentucky Derby weekend. So it literally is the trifecta, the triple crown.
And it's my birthday.
And it's your birthday.
Let me get a tequila julep up in this.
Dude, we're gonna have some sort of...
Oh, 10 out of 10 would drink a tequila julep.
10 out of 10.
Take me to there.
Totally, totally. Happening. So, yeah, that's happening. And then not too far after that, a little bit later in the summer, I'm already planning on this.
I see that. The wheels are turning. I know what you're talking about. Let it go.
We got our 300th episode is coming up pretty soon. So
August.
Damn.
So we gotta start planning for that. And if we could do that, it's probably going to coincide with the release of your book.
It is, yeah. If we don't blow it and miss any shows, Dave.
don't put this on me.
Then I put it all on you. I'm just making sure you're listening. If we don't blow it and miss any shows, then the 300th episode will happen literally days after my book comes out.
So it's going to be...
So we can do a book party.
We've got some mega parties coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be the summer of parties for us.
Summer of parties. Yeah, man. So we're looking forward to a lot of that. Outside of that, we're also going to be doing a lot of cool stuff with Heritage Radio Network. You know, this is kind of like the beginning of our like summer season. Summer.
Yeah.
What a funny word. Yeah, just looking forward to a lot of that, you know, onward and upward with Heritage Radio Network and the Speakeasy. Also, if you didn't tune in last week, we have the Speakeasy podcast, Instagram, which we just started up. And of course, you can always find all the information at heritageradionetwork.org and click on the Beating Heart to donate to us so we can... keep continuing with drinking champagne in the studio.
Yeah.
And talking too much.
Exactly. Well, thanks, everybody. It's been a great show. Glad to have you on, Steve-a.
Yay.
Yeah, thanks for bringing the champagne.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Great.
Yeah.
So, so you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.